Committee on Veterans Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Madam Vice Chair.
I have a Thank a Vet song. The lyrics are written by Mike Wilson, and I am not a singer, but I sing to my grandkids all the time. So please bear with me, but it's a nice little ditty, and I hope it makes you feel happy. If you love your country, thank a vet. If you cherish freedom, thank a vet. For the price they pay, for the sacrifice they make. If you love your country, I love my country. If you cherish freedom, I cherish freedom. If you love America, thank a vet. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did you learn that when you were flying? Just asking.
And you know, the second verse is the same as the first.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, members of the public, in the normal public hearing agenda has three bills on it, but before we move to that, in case we run out of time or get pressed for time, we're going to do two work sessions. We're going to open a work session, which is the bottom, to introduce legislative concepts, and after that we're going to open a work session on SB 364. So I'm going to open a work session for introducing legislative concepts. Madam Vice Chair, if you would please.
Senator Boquist, I move the following legislative concepts be introduced as committee bills: LC 3805, dated 2/2/17, and LC 3094, dated 2/13/17.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson has moved the following legislative concepts be introduced: LC 3805, dated 2/2/17, and LC 3094, dated 2/13/17. Just colleagues, as a reminder, introduction of legislative concepts do not reflect a position by a member. They're simply introducing a concept for future discussion. Any comments? Any concerns? Any opposition? So ordered. With that, we're going to close the work session on legislative concepts and open a work session on SB 364, which has a subsequent referral to finance and revenue to tax credits.
Two referrals.
Okay. First referral is to finance and revenue. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 364 was previously heard on February 21st. It has a subsequent referral first to Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. This is the one that creates an income tax credit for shipping containers that are donated to public entities to store emergency supplies within 1,000 feet of public buildings, equal to 10% of the container's retail value. It takes effect on the 91st day after signing die. It has fiscal and revenue lights because the full analysis will be done in the next couple of committees that are posted on OLIS, and also a hard copy of the fiscal is available at the dais.
Our work session, Madam Vice Chair.
Senator Boquist, I move Senate Bill 364 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Finance and Revenue. Okay, all right.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson has moved SB 364 to the floor with a due pass with subsequent referral to Finance and Revenue. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Then so ordered. With that, we're going to close the work session on SB 364 and open a public hearing. We're going to do these one at a time, right?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron did just arrive.
Okay. He's somewhere, right? We're going to open a work session. We might go out of order here slightly, colleagues. We're going to open a work session.
Public hearing, my mistake,
on SB 694. We'll ask Representative Kennemer to start coming forward if he's in the room. And, Council, will you please explain it? And, Senator Olson, do you want to join him or do you want to speak from up here?
Well, I thought you might want to go back into order again, but we just let Representative Kennemer give us testimony. If you want to stay in order, if you don't want to stay in order, I'll be glad to go down there and do my PowerPoint. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 694 increases the upper limit of two existing property tax exemptions for disabled veterans and their unremarried surviving spouses from $15,000 to $60,000 and from $18,000 to $65,000, and creates a third exemption of up to $150,000 of the assessed value of a homestead or personal property. Measure takes effect on a 91st day after signing die and has a subsequent referral to Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. It's important to note that the statutory figures, $15,000 and $18,000, are increased by 3% every year, so that their current value is $20,763 and $24,917, respectively, according to the Oregon Department of Revenue. The new upper limits, 60 and 65, respectively, would maintain, in the measure, would maintain that increase of 3% per year. The third and the variance between them depends on whether the veteran's disability is service-connected or not. The higher exemption is available for those with service-connected disabilities, the lower exemption available for those with any disability. The third and higher level of exemption that's being created is for those who have up to 100% service-connected disabilities.
And, colleagues, since I don't multitask very well, that's why I thought I would let Representative Kennemer and then Senator Olson go forward, and we could keep it flowing. Thank you, Representative. But, Senator Olson, you're going to go first?
Why don't you go first, Mr. Bell, please?
You sure?
Yes,
absolutely. You had to go to committee. I just want to make
that's
sure.
That's fine. Please, just go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I'm a state senator. I represent Senate District 20, the heart of Clackamas County. I'm here today to talk about our veterans in Senate Bill 694. We were soldiers. We were soldiers in Vietnam. We were soldiers in the Persian Gulf. We were soldiers in the Iraq War. We were soldiers in the Afghanistan War. They came by the sea. They came by air. They came by land. Women, men, Army, Marines, Air Force, Navy, National Guard, medical personnel came, special forces came. They all came, no matter the conflict, no matter the location. American veterans came and served to keep America free. Some made the ultimate sacrifice. Many were wounded, but they all came home. Veterans protected America. Existing legislation allows those veterans who have received a disability due to military service to receive an exemption on property taxes for their home. Senate Bill 694 brings this legislation to the modern era. As was mentioned, 40% disability would receive a $15,000 exemption. We're asking that to be increased to $60,000. 60% disabled was an $18,000 exemption, asking that to be increased to $65,000. 100% disabled would receive a $18,000 exemption. We ask that that be moved to $150,000. And the interesting thing about this bill is 2 years ago when I brought this bill forward, we mandated it to the counties. This year we talked to the counties and we said, if we set sideboards that allowed you to prescribe the requirements necessary to receive the $150,000 deduction, would you be interested? Would you move the bill forward? Would you allow veterans that are 100% disabled to get that $150,000 exemption? So the counties can set the sideboards, set the fiscal requirement that they determine. Surviving spouses can also receive the same exemption with the same conditions. I did an example, and my example is actually wrong, because I thought, being good citizens of Oregon, that we started the 3% when we started the bill, but we didn't. We didn't start the bill until later in life, like in 2005. But if you were a Persian Gulf War veteran and you came back in 94, and you had a 40% disability, as your exemption from 15,000 grew, it only grew to 29,604, the way I figured it out, which is only $14,604. So you can see the impact is not astronomical on a veteran when he's unable to make ends meet and have his property taxes go up. That was 3% compounded over 23 years, but I was informed that it only started in 2005. So the exemptions aren't very large. And I would ask, and I would clearly state that we owe our veterans more. For disabled veterans who have been honorably served our country, helping these veterans stay in their homes is a small price to pay. And I'd ask for your support on Senate Bill 694. And I'll take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Representative.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Bill Kennemer, State Representative, District 39, and a special thanks to Senator Olson for this bill. This is an important update. It's sad that substantial property tax deductions for our wounded warriors and spouses have been severely diminished with time and the inflation of home values. So this is a very appropriate update. I also think that there was an effort at compromise with 25% instead of 100%, and because that's a big improvement over the 10 where it was. I wish that we could do more, and I'm very pleased that our county, Clackamas County, has sent a letter in support and voted in support of this bill as well. And with that, I would urge support and appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Madam Vice Chair, questions?
Maybe there will be someone testifying. I would like to know what financial impact this would have on Multnomah County. Is there any way to figure out how many veterans at these various levels of disability, how it will affect the revenues?
Well, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, I'm sorry, I did the wrong order. It's interesting because we allow the counties to make the decision whether they want to give it or not. And there could be no impact because Multnomah County might say, no, we don't want to allow this higher allowance for these folks. Yes, they will. There will be some impact for anyone that is disabled that would already get it. But as far as the $150,000 deduction, they can say no, they don't want to accept it or do it at all. So, and the other problem is that we know there's approximately or at least 2 years ago, there was approximately 7,200 100% disabled vets, but we don't have a specific number because they don't have to put that number on any particular form, so we can't count them. But we know throughout the state there's approximately 7,200, and perhaps someone smarter than I has a more appropriate answer or a more knowledgeable answer than that, but that's the one I remember from the past.
Mm-hmm. Follow up, and we have an assessor coming up to testify.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah, I was just curious as to how we know which ones. I know a lot of veterans, and they have various disability attached to their years of service, due to their years of service, yet do they just need proof of, I mean, would they have to file that? You know, there's those types of process questions. I was just curious.
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, I believe that there's a form available and the assessors will be able to tell you what's available because these people can already take advantage of these tax breaks. And here comes the answer right now.
Mallory's coming to save you, Senator.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Representative.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, Douglas Schmidt, Polk County Assessor. I can answer some of the questions. If this bill is implemented, we would have to either contact veterans that are currently enrolled in this program, or we can go through our files. We don't track which veterans are 100% disabled, because currently the benefit is, if you're over 40%, it's the same benefit. So we can go through our files to try and determine which veterans have the 100%. We might just send out a blanket letter, Polk County, to try and identify if they have had any increase in their disability, because it does change over time, and some of them couldn't qualify, and then over time the disability increases and they're able to qualify. So we can go through our files and try and determine which ones are 100% disabled. That's the big increase. My impression, and in talking with other assessors, the number of veterans who are 100% disabled through the federal VA is a small percentage of the total of veterans that have the benefit. I don't have numbers on Multnomah County of the impact that this could be, but Washington and Lane County, who are larger counties, the additional benefit exemption would be about $2.5 million of tax, additional above what is currently offered out there now. And we had to estimate the number of veterans who are 100%, and assuming that the county gave the full 150 exemption.
Thank you.
Did you have other testimony?
It was going to be that, just to bring up the fact of the revenue impact to the counties, mm-hmm. and the fact that in some eastern Oregon counties, their median home value, real market home value, is less than the lower of the exemption. So it would be 100% exemption, even for a 40% disabled. So some of the assessors had expressed concern about that. It's not anti-veteran. In my testimony, I wanted to let the veterans know I'm a veteran. My dad's a veteran. My uncles are veterans. This is just a bringing the revenue impact before the committee. And there was a question on section. Let me find my. I believe it's section 4. The bill used to have just one disabled vet surviving spouse benefit. Now there's two. And I don't know if I'm just reading it incorrectly, but it talks about the surviving spouse in the $65,000 exemption and the $150,000 exemption. It just says surviving spouse can get that. If the intent of the committee and the and Mr. Olson or Senator Olson was to have the veteran have to meet those qualifying criteria, 100% disabled, 40% disabled, for the surviving spouse to get it, that's fine. We just need to make sure that that was the intent of the bill and not any surviving spouse of a veteran can get the $150,000. And I may be overly reading the bill. So if the intent is that the surviving spouse had to be of a veteran who was 100% disabled to get that 100% exemption, then that's fine. That's no problem. We just need to make sure that we understand that so we can get the correct benefits to the surviving spouses.
Just a question, Senator Olson, just a clarifying point. This is optional to the county. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So the county can adopt it, can remain at the present thresholds, or adopt something between where it is now and this level?
Yes.
Correct. Thank you.
Senator Boquist, members of the committee, the way I read it is the it's a income issue on the $150,000. The counties can set an income limit if they want, okay. And if the veteran doesn't meet that qualification, then they will get the $65,000. That is correct.
That's
okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, gentlemen. We have one more panel, and then before we move on to another bill, if that is going to work out with you. Okay. Second panel, I believe, is Commissioner Humberston, Jason Carroll, and Steve Bates. And I'll let the commissioner go first.
Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Monis Anderson, and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Humberston, newly elected commissioner of Clackamas County. I am also a former Marine and retired law enforcement. I am not here testifying on my own behalf. I am one of the fortunate ones who is not disabled in any way. I am here to testify on behalf of my former colleagues who are less fortunate than I was. On behalf of the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners, I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you today in support of SB 694. In 2016, Clackamas County reaffirmed its Veterans Covenant, a pledge made with cities, state legislative delegation members, and others to ensure appropriate local resources would be made available to support returning veterans. One of the signers of that covenant was Senator Alan Olson, along with Representative Julie Parrish. Before continuing, I especially want to thank those Clackamas legislators for taking the lead on this issue with Senate Bill 694 and House Bill 2235, respectively. While these are not quite the same bill, they seek to accomplish similar goals, and Clackamas County is proud to have a delegation of members who are willing to promote legislation that supports veterans in this way. As you all know, housing is one of the biggest challenges most returning veterans experience, especially those who are disabled. Disabled veterans find themselves in a struggle that is, at times, cyclical. For many, it's hard to find work if you lack secure housing, and it's hard to find secure housing if you can't find work. This is just one example of the types of barriers that veterans face when they return from conflict. Senate Bill 694 is a great idea to relieve some of the barriers to permanent housing that are faced by disabled veterans. From Clackamas County's perspective, we appreciate that this bill is prescriptive in how to implement exemptions, and we especially like that the exemption is tiered to support different veterans who have different levels of disabilities. We think this tiered approach is an equitable way to address needs and a fiscally smart way to protect the general funds of local jurisdictions while also supporting veterans through property tax exemptions. And finally, we appreciate the fact that this legislation would also support the spouses of fallen military members through property tax exemptions. Yet a third Clackamas legislator, Senator Girard, has brought forward legislation being heard today to support surviving spouses, and we thank him for his work on this as well. Thank you very much for your time today, and once again, we ask for your support of Senate Bill 694, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. We'll do all three testimony and then take questions as a panel.
Thank you, Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Mona Sanderson. I'm Steve Bates. I'm from Clackamas County also, from the community known as Boring. And I might add that boring is only a name, not a condition. For almost 100 years, Oregon has honored its wounded warriors, our disabled veterans, with a property tax exemption. At one time, research shows this exemption was over 100% of the median value of a single-family dwelling. This is fitting as our wounded warriors have given a portion of their body, a part of their being, in the service of our country. But this exemption has been reduced to less than 10% of the value of a medium-priced home. This is an unfortunate result of not reviewing old laws and updating them to meet current needs. The original Oregon State statute that authorized this property tax exemption references Civil War disabled veterans and their surviving spouses. This demonstrates our state's long-standing commitment to our disabled veterans. However, this law has not been modified but only a few times since 1953. When real estate values started escalating in the late 1970s, the disabled veterans' property tax exemption started to dwindle. The exemption amounts remained the same while the assessed valuation of property grew and grew and grew. The amount of exemption became less and less. The Oregon State statute controlling the amount of disabled veteran property tax exemption was not updated during the time that property values soared in the 1980s and the 1990s. Over the past several years, there have been attempts to correct this situation, but it appears that politicians decided not to maintain a reasonable property tax exemption for our wounded warriors. The 2005 legislature did make some amends. A 3% annual increase was added to the disabled veterans property tax exemption. A disabled veteran inferred in a 2015 testimony that the 3% increase per year would not even buy a dinner for two. In other words, this is not enough. What was once 100% is now less than 10%. Because political sentiment identifies that 100% exemption would be too costly, Senate Bill 694 is a compromise. The end result of passing this bill is that most disabled veterans qualifying for this exemption would receive a property tax exemption closer to 25% of the value of a medium-priced home. This bill also addresses the severely disabled veteran. It creates a new category that would allow an even greater property tax exemption if certain requirements are met. Senate Bill 694 gives the local county commission the option to control the levels of this exemption. It will not be 100%, but 25% is better than 10%. This is a compromise that should be nonpartisan. Senate Bill 694 is doing something. Previous legislations just let it go and did nothing. Something is better than nothing. Let Oregon once again stand for our wounded warriors. Please pass this on so that this will become the law of the land and our disabled veterans will receive additional income assistance with reduced property taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Boquist, Vice Chair Senator Mona Sanderson. My name is Jason Carroll. I'm a combat veteran with 4 years of service in Vietnam and service in Korea and Somalia. I'm also a lifetime resident of Oregon and a property owner. I just wanted to make basically one point that, you know, this disabled veterans, although we may not, you may see them walking down the street and you may not recognize that they're disabled, these disabilities have affected these veterans for their lifetime and generally have affected their ability to produce income. And that's a lifelong thing. And it affects their ability to own and maintain a home. So we owe it to them to give them a little bit of a break to catch up. And those that have done real well, the income requirement's going to take care of them, and they're not going to benefit from this. But those that need it the most, and we encounter disabled veterans all the time that are really struggling, and property tax time sometimes is a really traumatic time for them. So I'd urge you to support this. I strongly support this bill.
Thank you. Thank you. Chair, questions? Okay. Mayor Olson? McCartney? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Wendy, if you would please, Wendy Johnson. And then we'll move to the next bill. So,
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, excuse me, Wendy Johnson here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. We would acknowledge that these exemptions are pretty low and haven't been raised in a long time. That said, these are substantial increases, and we just want to point out a couple of policy issues that you may want to consider as you're looking at this. First, moving from $15,000 to $60,000 for the veterans that are disabled, but it's not a service-related injury, that one has a income level threshold. You have to show that you're below, not more than 185% of poverty level. But for the other one that's raising from $18,000 to $65,000, there's no income level issue. Pretty much every property tax exemption that we have on the books now, we're really stingy with them because you're giving up property tax dollars that go to schools, cities, counties, and special districts. You have to show need. And so we're concerned that just providing this exemption without showing the financial need is a serious question when we're in budget deficits in so many parts of the state. So if you're going to increase it that much and have that much of a revenue impact, we'd like to make sure that the person getting it needs it. The League's priorities for this session are housing, mental health, and revenue reform. And so we want to make sure that the dollars we're going to give up in property tax exemptions are worth it because we have such needs, especially with veterans and mental health. This still only covers disabilities. And so we think you should add a poverty level necessity on the second part. The third one is you're providing it optional. This bill would go from, it's a new exemption, up to that $150,000, which is a local option. But again, it's up to the county to set what that income is. We think it should be consistent throughout whatever that poverty level is. And I would note that it's a local option for the county to decide, which means it affects cities and counties and school districts, and 40% of property tax dollars go to schools. So making this leaving this decision to the county to make affects all of our taxing districts, including my client, the cities. Again, we think it's time to raise them, but we're wondering if you've looked at the policy issues, and those are important. I think those are all my comments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Madam Vice Chair. Mayor Olson. Thank you very much. With that, colleagues, we're going to close the public hearing. It's on SB 694, and we're going to open a public hearing on SB 562, if you would, Senator, please. I appreciate your courtesy in waiting. Colleague or counsel, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 562 has a subsequent referral to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. It adds the unremarried surviving spouses of active duty military personnel killed in the line of duty to the list of persons who may receive a property tax exemption of up to $250,000 of the assessed value of their homestead. It takes effect the 91st day after signee die. Oregon law currently allows counties to exempt up to $250,000 for firefighters and law enforcement officers who are killed in the line of duty. This adds the surviving spouses of those in the active military service who are killed.
Chair Boquist, committee. My name is Senator Fred Girard. I represent the heart, soul, and brains of Clackamas, Marion, and Linn counties. I come to you today to introduce Senate Bill 562. As you know, a bit of history. In 2016, this body passed Senate Bill 1513, which allowed counties to offer property tax relief to the surviving spouses of first responders who die in the line of duty. The bill imposed a ceiling of the first $250,000 of assessed value of the homestead. The bill before you today expands this tax exemption to include the surviving spouses of active duty servicemen and women who die while serving our country. It is important to point out this bill is permissive. It is a may, not a shall. So all the counties have an option if they wish to do this or not. As you well know, freedom's not free, and those who pay the ultimate price, I think we should help with their surviving spouses and kids. This is a direct way to do it. It's very clean and it's very neat, and I would urge your support.
Thank you. Madam Vice Chair? Chair Olson? Go ahead, Madam Vice Chair.
Yeah, I think the assessor would have the same input that he gave on the last bill on the impact on the counties and cities.
You ask, we shall get you an answer. He's coming.
And you get tired of me being in your committees.
I do. This is a different committee, so we start fresh, Assessor. And you are an elected official, so we give you that courtesy.
Thank you. Chair Boquist, members of the committee, Vice Chair Mona Zanderson. Assessors have not done any analysis on the $250,000 limit at this point. We have no way of knowing how many surviving spouses of active duty military killed in the line of duty are in each county. So we have not done any analysis on this. It would probably not be significant, probably nothing like the raising the disability levels.
Yes, so if the surviving spouse remarried, this would still be in effect?
Actually, I think I don't believe so. And the thing is that it's all to terms and conditions put down by the individual county.
If you hold on, Senator Olson. In regards to, this is not a new bill.
No.
We actually did, as Senator Girard said before, we added those who died in the line of duty for fire and police. Can you give any reflection in Polk County, at least across the river, of what the impact was? I mean, were there one or two or none? Or
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, as of this point, nobody has come forward to even request that the commissioners look at creating a resolution. So we have not done that yet. We've had no need to do it at this point.
Right.
Chair Boquist,
please.
Both Clackamas and Marion counties have, mm-hmm. but as to what the financial impact was, I'm not sure.
I'm thinking off the top of my head, the line of duty police officers is less than 100 in the entire state, I think, in
close to
our lifetime.
It's pretty small.
Right. Chair Boquist, anecdotally, I have not heard a lot of assessors talk about the impact or the implementation of the exemption for surviving spouses of public safety officers. So at this point, I think it's a fairly small number. Mm-hmm. And that's why my feeling is now we may have more surviving spouses of military because we've had ongoing wars for a long time. Mm-hmm. It could be higher, but I'm not sure it would have a significant impact. But again, it's just my guess at this point.
Senator Olson, you have a question.
Thank you very much. This is a point I'd like to make to both pieces of legislation because I think they're both wonderful. You know, we talk about the impact of finances to the county, to the schools, to the cities. But what we didn't talk about, but I briefly heard in a comment made by Mr. Bates, what about the impact to the soldier, to the veteran? The fact that the impact to his earning ability, what he could really have done in life had he not been disabled by the service he provided to our country. I think that's a thing we overlook and we forget about. We're so concerned with the almighty dollar for the things we want to spend money on, but we forget about the things that the people did in their lives so that we can argue about the things we want to spend money on. And I think we really need to concentrate on the fact that those people that have sacrificed for America, for Oregon, have an inherent ability to do so much more than they did because of what happened to them. And they live with it happily. They smile about it every day that they're still here. I know a gentleman and actually saw the film of him getting blown out of a bunker by a mortar round, and he lives in my town, and he's in a wheelchair. And he's one of the people I think about when I think about this bill. And I think about the fact that he lives on government help that doesn't grow as fast as his property taxes go up. So I ask, what can we do to help that and fix that? But you look at what his life would have been had that not happened, had he not made that sacrifice. And I think that's the thing we as legislators that I don't mean to sound crass, but that aren't veterans, overlook as to what the people have done, the sacrifices they've made, and what is the value, how do we value their sacrifice? And I think these two bills explain exactly how we value their sacrifice.
Senator Gribble.
Oh, I was just going to, a personal note for me, my brother was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for bravery as a pilot. And the war didn't kill him, but Agent Orange did. He died of cancer from Agent Orange. So I have a lot of empathy for what you are saying.
I see ODVA sitting out there. I don't see the military department. Do you folks off the top of your head have a killed in the line of duty number? Okay. We can get that. Any other questions, colleagues? Is there anybody else that would like to testify on SB 562?
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome, Senator.
Just a comment. It's so important. The counties, it's up to the counties to provide human services to their veterans. And I can only speak for Multnomah County and Clackamas County. I worked in Clackamas County, and I live in Multnomah County. There are so many services that the veterans need, and I so want us to be able to provide the mental health and the housing and the job security and the education for our veterans. That should be number one. So I want us to think in the broad context of what we need to do for our veterans, and it's a whole lot more than we are doing.
Thank you. Anyone else want to testify on 562? If that were to close the public hearing on SB 562, and we're going to open a public hearing on SB 832. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 832 requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to establish a grant program in cooperation with the Office of Rural Health to solicit qualified nonprofit providers that assist rural veterans with access to health care, veterans benefits, housing, transportation, and court processes. It also has a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
And we have signed up Senator Montes Anderson and Senator Olson.
Those are the bill sponsors, Mr. Chair.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. So are the bill sponsors want to address the bill?
Let me pull it up just a minute here. I forgot to bring my bill file, so I apologize. Just a minute here.
I'm looking at it too. I'm guessing it's that. Mm-hmm. Is there someone from ODVA? Are you familiar with this bill? Well, then come on up. Come up to door number one. Help us out here. I have a feeling that it's Senator Olson who's outside thanking people for coming up, and it's his bill, and he doesn't know what's up next.
Good afternoon, Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Mona Sanderson. For the record, my name is Laurie Skillman. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 832 is a bill that requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, in collaboration with the Oregon Office of Rural Health, to establish a grant program to provide grants to nonprofits for a variety of different topics. And the way that the bill is written is focuses on rural areas. It is also left to the Department of Veterans Affairs to define what rural areas, what constitutes a rural area. The bill has listed a variety of things for that specify where the grants can go, what kinds of services would be provided. One is for health care, one is for transportation, which veterans with health care issues have transportation issues. It's always, we consider transportation for veterans a health care issue. It also provides for grants for housing assistance and justice involved veterans, criminal and civil justice systems. So it has a number of different kinds of things. It has us adopt rules to do it and sort of set out the criteria for the nonprofits. My purpose in speaking to the bill is just to raise some different issues about the bill that may require a little more thought. One is that this bill is specifically for rural areas, and I wanted to make sure that that's what the legislature and the bill sponsors wanted to do, confine that to rural areas. Rural areas are defined in quite a few different ways. The Office of Rural Health, for example, defines rural areas as an area 10 miles from the center of a city greater than 40,000 people. So Portland and beyond, Salem and beyond, Alton, Corvallis and beyond, Eugene, Roseburg, and Bend. And then anything outside that 10-mile radius, they consider rural for purposes of Office of Rural Health. Now, Office of Rural Health is named in the bill as to provide collaboration with ODVA. So it's some of the areas for the grants don't neatly fall in health. And so there's a little bit of confusion about that. The purposes are pretty broad, and so that there's a, you know, would each of those areas need to be covered through the grants, or was there a concept of narrowing that, or is that up to ODVA? These are just kinds of things to consider. The other thing about grant programs, as you know, is that because of we're on a two-year budget, the grants would be on a two-year grant cycle. So the question is, would these grants be for programs that would be initiated or programs that would be aspirational? Would they be to organizations that have something that's pretty well established to provide support and innovation? So kind of how the sponsors would like to structure some of those things are just some questions when we were looking at the bill that we wanted to see if the sponsors wanted to put little clear sideboards around. So,
Rabbi Sharon, now you're ready?
Now I'm ready.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I don't have my bill file with me. And it was actually Judy Cushing in conjunction with Lions for Life and the other entity that she... Is it West Care? Mm-hmm. Yes. And so rather than me testify, it would be nice if we could invite the people who brought this bill forward. So I did introduce it, and Senator Olson, but they are the, it was at their request. So I would love to have them be notified to testify. And I'm sorry that we didn't catch that to notify them. My bad.
And also, Madam Vice Chair, we could put 832 into the same work group that you and I are going to be meeting with the our respective co-chairs in the Veterans Committee on the 7th in a work group. Once the good representative of ODVA started talking, it looked to me like it was exactly one of the lottery placekeeper bills for how we're going to make recommendations to Ways and Means in terms of spending for lottery dollars. I think that's another good approach for that. If we could probably do it, put it into the work group on the 7th, and then we come out of that work group, ask the various people to come forward and testify again.
Okay.
The 7th is the right date, isn't it?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions?
Mr. Chair, when you're talking lottery dollars, are you talking the lottery dollars we just passed in 96 and then the balance we're going to get back from?
The balance we're going to attempt to get back, yes.
That's a, thank right. you. I want to make that clear.
Right. That's exactly correct. If there's no more comments, anyone else would like to testify on this bill? With that, we're going to close the work session on SB 832. Colleagues, we've been all the way through our schedule, so we do have an informational hearing on Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m., just to remind you. And with that, if there's anything for the good of the order, we are adjourned till Thursday. Thank you. Are adjourned till Thursday. Thank you. Good of the order. We are.